When it comes to settlers and indigenous peoples, it's always a conflict. Wars, crimes, and claims from both sides always accompany it. The history of the USA is a vivid example of the relationship between settlers and Native American peoples. In this history, there have been heroic deeds and bloody crimes. But what often gets forgotten is how the conflict between two different peoples began, despite it being one of the most crucial moments, not only in the history of the USA. By the end of the 18th century, the status of the lands in the Northwest was ambiguous. Until recently, they had belonged to France. During the Seven Years' War, they were captured by Great Britain. However, European presence was minimal. It was limited to military forts, a small number of settlements, and treaties with native tribes. The natives constituted the majority of the population in these regions. They participated in the Seven Years' War primarily as mercenaries serving the British. Unwilling to submit to the Europeans, immediately after the war, local natives rose in rebellion, led by Chief Pontiac of the Ottawa tribe. By that time, the Native Americans had learned European warfare tactics and were sufficiently equipped with firearms, allowing them to capture most of the European forts and defeat the British at the Battle of Bloody Run. During the siege of Fort Pitt in this war, there was an incident where Europeans attempted to infect Native Americans with smallpox by giving them infected blankets. However, at that time, understanding of epidemic spread was limited even in Europe itself, so they were unable to inflict significant damage on Pontiac's forces with this method. Ultimately, the British were unable to suppress the rebellion, and in 1766, they entered into a peaceful treaty. Although the lands were declared British territory, the Native Americans were granted self-government. Moreover, the prohibition issued in 1763, forbidding British subjects from settling west of the Appalachian Mountains, was reaffirmed. The prohibition on settling these lands was perceived by the colonists as an infringement on their rights. In the 13 colonies, there were already numerous grievances against British rule. In 1775, the colonists initiated a war against Britain, which culminated in the creation of the United States of America. The Native Americans, who already had treaties with the British and were aware of the colonists' plans for their lands, mostly sided with the British in this war. The Iroquois particularly distinguished themselves, achieving the greatest victory for the Native Americans in the War for Independence. In 1778, the Iroquois defeated a Pennsylvania regiment in the Wyoming Valley and subsequently carried out persecutions and killings of white settlers in the region. In response, the Americans, under the command of General Sullivan, expelled the Iroquois from their lands near Lake Ontario the following year. American soldiers were also involved in killings of Native Americans. A notorious incident was the Gnadenhutten Massacre, where Minutemen killed around 100 Christian Indians because they refused to support the American army. After the war, the Northwest Territory came under the control of the newly formed United States. However, the land still remained inhabited by indigenous peoples. The British handed over their forts to them and supplied them with weapons and ammunition. The Native Americans began to unite among themselves, forming a confederation of 35 tribes, known in history as the Northwest Confederacy. There were attempts to negotiate with the United States, where the natives even agreed to cede the Ohio Valley. However, negotiations reached an impasse, and both sides began preparing for war. The war, known in history as the Northwest Indian War, was declared in 1785. However, actual hostilities began a year later when Americans, under General Clark, crossed the Ohio River. Invading native lands, Clark faced numerous challenges. His soldiers, who had already fought the British for 8 years, were unwilling to engage in another war and began deserting in large numbers. The already low morale worsened due to the guerrilla warfare tactics employed by the Indians, led by two chiefs, Little Turtle and Blue Jacket. Consequently, within a month of the campaign, Clark was forced to retreat back to Kentucky. In 1787, General Arthur St. Clair took command of the Northwest Territory. He attempted to sow discord among the Native Americans, but his efforts were in vain. Military campaigns led by his colonels also met with failure. Subsequently, St. Clair gathered 2,000 soldiers and personally led an expedition in 1791. Upon reaching Fort Recovery, the Americans halted. With insufficient space at the fort, most soldiers set up camp near the Wabash River. When Chief Little Turtle learned of this, he quickly assembled around 1,500 warriors, surrounded the American positions at night, and launched a surprise attack. A third of the American soldiers were killed, and only half managed to break through the encirclement. St. Clair's defeat led to significant political changes in the United States. To effectively combat the indigenous peoples, the professional military force known as the Legion of the United States was formed. It was from this legion that the foundation of the U.S. Army is traced. In 1793, under the command of General Anthony Wayne, this legion set out westward. The new forces quickly forced some native tribes into peace agreements. In 1794, they decisively defeated the Native Americans at the Battle of Fallen Timbers. Following this victory, all Native American tribes in the region agreed to peace. According to the Treaty of Greenville, the territories passed to the United States while allowing the Indians to retain self-governance. However, American settlers were permitted to establish settlements on their lands. The number of American settlers began to grow so rapidly that by 1800, the territory was divided into the state of Ohio and the Indiana Territory. Soon after, Americans began settling the remainder of these lands. These prospects were not favored by the Native Americans. Among them, ideas of rebellion against the United States became popular. Chief Tecumseh emerged as the most vocal advocate for this cause. William Henry Harrison, the new governor, was displeased with Tecumseh's activities. Despite several meetings between Harrison and the Indian chief, all attempts at negotiations proved futile. When Harrison learned that Tecumseh was absent from his hometown, Harrison seized the opportunity to attack and burn it down. Harrison's actions provoked a widespread native uprising. Nearly all tribes rallied in support of Tecumseh, quickly gaining control of territories and capturing American forts. When Britain declared war on the United States in 1812, Tecumseh agreed to an alliance against the Americans. His forces distinguished themselves by jointly capturing Fort Detroit with the British. When the Americans attempted to reclaim it, Native American warriors formed the backbone of the forces that defeated them under the fort's walls. Despite American newspapers depicting Tecumseh as a ruthless leader during those years, history remembers a moment when he intervened after the battle to protect captured Americans from being sacrificed according to Native American customs, which demanded retribution. However, Britain was losing this war, especially since its primary concerns lay in Europe, where it was engaged in conflict with Napoleon. After their defeat at Lake Erie, the British retreated. Along with them, Tecumseh's warriors also abandoned their lands. They continued to fight against the Americans in Canada, but after Tecumseh was killed in battle, the Native American alliance dissolved. The name of Tecumseh is associated with the legend of the curse on American presidents. According to legend, Tecumseh, or alternatively his younger brother prophet Tenskwatawa, cursed the presidents of the United States. Each president elected in a year ending in zero was destined to die while in office. Allegedly, the first victim of this curse was William Henry Harrison, the same man who once burned Tecumseh's hometown. In the Upper South, wars between the United States and Native Americans began even before the War for Independence. The natives, citing the prohibition on colonial settlements west of the Appalachians, considered European settlements in those areas illegal. Consequently, they attacked, destroyed them, and killed settlers. This led to the start of the war with Native Americans in Kentucky as early as 1774. It quickly spread to neighboring tribes, with the Cherokee Indians playing a key role in this alliance. When the American War for Independence began, the Cherokee swiftly allied themselves with the British. Even after the British were defeated, the Cherokee continued to fight against the United States. They were led by a talented military leader named Dragging Canoe. He successfully waged a guerrilla war against the Americans until his death in 1792. After his death, the Cherokee continued the fight for their lands under the leadership of a mixed-race leader named John Watts. Even though the Americans defeated most of the Cherokee forces in the Battle of Hightower, some Native Americans under John Watts continued to conduct guerrilla warfare. Watts attempted to form alliances and coordinate actions with the Northwestern Indian Confederacy, but the significant distance between them hindered these efforts. Finally, the U.S. government decided that it was easier to make peace with the Cherokee rather than continue the war. The Cherokee also desired peace. During negotiations, John Watts succeeded in ensuring that Cherokee lands remained theirs. They were granted self-government and their own military forces. However, the Americans did not refrain from intervening in the Native Americans' business. The Muscogee tribe, also known by their self-designation as Creek, lived near the Alabama River. Due to their proximity to Spanish, French, and English territories, the Creeks actively participated in wars between these states, which contributed to their power. After the establishment of the USA, they secured their lands. However, in 1813, the Creek tribe split into two factions, the White Creeks and the Red Creeks. Among the tribes, a civil war began, also known as the Red Stick War. The United States practically immediately entered this war on the side of its allies. It was in this war that General Andrew Jackson earned his military fame, defeating the Red Stick Confederacy at the Battle of Horseshoe Bend, and ensuring that the Creeks allied with the United States were in charge. After this, the Creeks also lost most of their lands. Their new leaders sold their lands to the United States. About 5,000 members of the Red Sticks fled to Florida to join the Seminole tribe after the war. The Seminole tribes originated from the Creek people. As early as the beginning of the 18th century, they broke away, resettled in northern Florida, and subjugated local tribes. Additionally, Seminoles saw an influx of runaway slaves from the southern United States, which on one hand increased their population, but on the other hand led to conflicts with European settlers. When the Red Sticks relocated to Florida in 1814, the Seminoles became the largest and strongest Native American tribe on the American frontier. Of course, both harboring runaway slaves and accepting defeated Red Sticks did not please the government of the USA. During the War of 1812, the Seminoles, like many other Native American tribes, fought alongside the British Army. Additionally, the British constructed Fort Negro. It was this fort that became the catalyst for the first war between the United States and the Seminoles. In 1818, General Andrew Jackson led 4,000 soldiers in an invasion of Seminole lands. He quickly captured a border fort and attempted to gain control over North Florida. However, numerous Seminole raiding parties began a guerrilla war. This forced the Americans to leave their troops there because it was clear that as soon as the U.S. withdrew its forces, the Seminoles would regroup. Complicating matters was the fact that formally, Florida belonged to Spain, though Spanish authority was limited to a few coastal cities in reality. However, the U.S. found a solution. They simply purchased Florida from Spain. After this, the Seminoles, realizing the hopelessness of the situation, made peace with the U.S. The Native Americans retained lands in the central part of the peninsula, while the rest were settled by Americans. After signing this treaty, the Seminoles joined the ranks of the largest Native American tribes in the southern United States. They, along with the Creeks, Cherokees, Chickasaws, and Choctaws, were called the Five Civilized Tribes by Europeans for adopting nearly all European customs. They engaged in agriculture, wore European clothing, and learned English. Since they lived in the South, they also adopted the practice from Southern residents of holding African-American slaves. In 1829, General Andrew Jackson was elected President of the United States. One of his campaign promises was to relocate Native Americans west of the Mississippi River. In 1830, the corresponding law was enacted. This relocation even affected well-known tribes like the Mohicans, who supported the colonists during the American Revolutionary War and fought for the young nation. The removals were often conducted by force. Native Americans' homes were destroyed. American soldiers escorted columns of relocated natives, not allowing them to rest on the way and often plundering them. In the memory of the Native Americans, this relocation is known as the Trail of Tears. Over 10 years, more than 100,000 natives were removed west of the Mississippi River. Approximately a quarter of them died during the journey. However, not all Native Americans agreed to such a fate. The Seminoles in Florida opposed it, despite their leaders initially signing a Treaty of Payne's Landing agreeing to relocation. But upon returning home, all the leaders claimed they had not signed anything, or that they had been deceived, and they had signed a completely different treaty. The main opponent among the Native Americans was Chief Osceola. Even during the negotiations at Payne's Landing, instead of signing a relocation treaty, he pierced it with a knife. However, the prohibition on selling firearms to Florida Native Americans in 1835 compelled him to go to war. Eventually, failing to obtain the right to arms, Osceola killed American representatives at the negotiations and began gathering forces for war. At the same time, separate bands of Seminoles attacked and looted the suburbs of St. Augustine and ambushed American soldiers, killing 100 of them. This event is remembered as the Dade Massacre, named after the American commander. Following this, Osceola gathered forces to besiege Fort Cooper, which blocked the northern route to Florida. The following year, the United States sent its troops into Florida. 1,000 soldiers under the command of General Edmund Gaines arrived on the east coast of Florida to prevent the Seminoles from reaching the sea. However, Gaines decided to engage and ventured into native lands, where he became surrounded near the Withlacoochee River. Only the arrival of reinforcements saved the Americans from defeat. Afterward, General Scott, who had assembled 5,000 soldiers in North Florida, set out for Native American territory. His troops burned and destroyed Seminole settlements. However, Scott was unable to inflict significant losses on the Indians, who simply spread their forces across the forests and swamps. In the summer, the Seminoles again assembled their forces, launched an offensive, and even captured some forts of the U.S. Army. In response, the Americans gathered new troops under the command of Governor Richard Call. This forced the Seminoles to retreat back into the marshy areas of central Florida. Governor Call attempted to dislodge the Seminoles from there, but his troops suffered significant losses and had to retreat during the battle at Wahoo Swamp. Soon, a new commander of U.S. forces in Florida was appointed, General Thomas Jessup. Instead of sending troops into the Seminole lands where they consistently suffered defeats, Jessup decided to block off the Seminole lands, thereby forcing them into peace negotiations. His strategy proved successful. In 1837, the Seminoles agreed to enter into negotiations. During these negotiations, Osceola was arrested and was supposed to stand trial for the killing of American diplomats. However, he never saw a trial, as he passed away the following year in South Carolina. Meanwhile, Jessup had no intention of making peace with the Native Americans. In December, he headed into Native territory, caught up with the retreating forces on the shores of Lake Okeechobee, and defeated them in two battles. Afterward, with up to 10,000 soldiers gathered, the United States forcibly began the removal of the Seminoles to the west. Some bands of natives continued to resist American forces, thus prolonging the Seminole removal for 4 years. Eventually, after relocating the majority of the Indians to the west, the Americans allowed the remaining Seminoles to stay on the peninsula, establishing a reservation for them in southern Florida. In 1855, a new war broke out with the Seminoles. Dissatisfied with their situation, the Indians killed American soldiers who were patrolling the border of their lands. Following this, they conducted raids from their territories into central Florida. In response, Americans assembled significant forces, mainly from local militias, and in the summer of 1856, they besieged the Seminole Reservation. Within a year, the Americans easily captured the weakened Seminoles' lands and began a new phase of their relocation from Florida, which concluded in 1858. Only a few hundred natives remained on the peninsula. Not only the Seminoles resisted westward relocation, the Sauk, Kickapoo, and Meskwaki tribes left Illinois as early as 1828, when their leaders either deceived or were bribed into selling tribal lands. However, after the harsh winter of 1831 to 1832, when the tribes faced starvation, Sauk leader Blackhawk promised to reclaim their native lands. Gathering 500 warriors with their families, he successfully crossed the Mississippi and began occupying lands that once belonged to his tribe. In response, the residents of Illinois raised a state militia battalion under the command of Major Isaiah Stillman. The forces met on the banks of Old Man's Creek. In the undisciplined battle that followed, the militia launched a disorganized attack, suffered significant losses, and ultimately fled in panic. The battle entered history as the Battle of Stillman's Run. The rest of the spring, Black Hawk spent in minor skirmishes with the Illinois troops. Realizing he could find no peace, he decided to head north into the Wisconsin River Valley, where there were considerably fewer Americans. However, Illinois troops followed him. They caught up with Black Hawk at the Wisconsin Heights, where they were defeated. The remnants of Black Hawk's band were annihilated in an attempt to cross the Mississippi River, an event known as the Bad Axe Massacre. So the United States ended its dealings with the Native Americans who lived east of the Mississippi River. However, as they expanded westward, Americans soon encountered new tribes. A new era of wars with the natives would begin in the United States, this time on the Great Plains. There would be victories and defeats, as wars with the Native Americans would continue throughout the 19th century.